And welcome once again, everyone, to No Filter Sports. It is Monday, June 24th, 2019. Eli's Aaron, along with Bob Page in that big city out east, joining us on Skype. And, of course, Denny McClain here looking across from me in the Red Shovel Studios plush studio in Drew Lane's basement.
Very plush.
Plush. It's plush. We got great equipment and a beautiful black painted ceiling and a lot of posters on the wall. And then here we are. So, a lot to talk about today, the aftermath of both drafts, the comparison between the new general manager of note in Detroit, Steve Yzerman, and one who's back in the league to a degree, Joe Dumars, and what Steve fears the most. A lot of baseball to talk about, not much with the Tigers because they are so awful, people are just losing interest altogether. A lot of aftermath of the NBA draft, on and on it goes, Michigan baseball, World Cup soccer that we don't have to talk about if we don't want to, even though it is the biggest event right now in the entire world, and we don't really care. And
there's not my world, not your world. Well, it's Denny's world. Denny loves this woman's soccer stuff.
Just let me say how arbitrary it is, okay? Because there's so many sports that we don't cover. I was with some Irish people last night who love Gaelic football, and they love rugby.
It's a great game.
We don't even care about.
Right.
And yet it's all a matter of personal preference. Anyway.
But, you know, let me say something about that. The thing that – here's what bothers me. As an American, we grow up with baseball, and this is our game, and we
right.
love baseball.
Absolutely. Anytime
anybody from around the world tells me, I hate American baseball. It's so boring. I tell them I totally understand what you're saying. I can see that to you it probably would be boring. Now, anytime I tell them soccer is so terribly boring to us, they don't get it.
They go crazy.
Say, what do you mean the beautiful game is boring? I said, listen, for us, it's boring. They just don't get it.
And the only reason I really take an interest in the ladies' soccer is because I've got all these granddaughters, and all of them played soccer, every one of them. And here's the best part of it. Out of the 7 granddaughters right now, 4 are in nursing school. So I don't know if the two have got something to do with each other, but you know what? The world doesn't.
I think the problem we've had with, and by the way, Howard Cosell.
I think at your age, Denny, it's great that 4 of them are in nursing school. You may need them pretty soon.
Unfortunately, all 4 live in Chicago, but we can make our way over there.
When Pelé joined the New York Cosmos, I think it was the late 70s, Howard Cosell said, the soccer bowl will someday exceed the Super Bowl, and it happened sooner than later. Of course, it never happened. I think the problem
was he meant it in an American event.
Yes,
in America.
When Pelé came, he said soccer was gonna exceed the Super Bowl because this is how big it was. It was New York. Oh, I can't believe that's me. Did I do that? Oh, my God.
I just told you I turned myself off. I made sure you turned yours off. You left that damn thing on right after I told you I turned
telemarketer.
My phone off.
I got to tell you something. The first 5 or 6 weeks, I got hell for that every time. So give him
that's
hell.
That's right. And
go ahead.
You got
one
religion.
Mistake.
Go ahead.
You got
my
religion.
First error.
Hey. That is not the first error. You did it last week, too.
No.
Yes,
no,
you
no.
did. Now, that's 2 weeks in a row.
I only made that comment after duly consuming 4 vodkas.
No, has anyone ever that you know had somebody call them as a telemarketer and said, "Yeah, you know, I'll take a 10% interest loan. Yeah, you know, I would like to refinance my." No, why are they even in business? Who would
why do
ever
they call?
Who would ever go to take a do a deal with a total stranger
maybe,
over the phone, especially with an Indian accent? Pardon
maybe
me.
People who did not matriculate at the University of Michigan and aren't as bright as you. Maybe uneducated older people who are beginning to lose it at home. This is a national disgrace.
Well, they take advantage of seniors. They really take advantage of seniors.
Yes, they do.
Here's another national disgrace. Comcast and Xfinity. They sign you up. They give you a special rate. Then they raise your rates 6 months or a year later, and I call back and say, you raised my rates without telling me. Well, it was a special interest rate. I said, well, then give me the offer again. Otherwise, I'll go to DirecTV. It's all arbitrary. You make it up as you go along, and it's called breakage, okay? A certain number of people won't fight, and they raise it all the time. Why not just – I've said, you know what I'll do? I'll trade you back the 75 stations I don't watch to take the $20 off my bill that I am not going to pay. They always knuckle under. You always get it cheaper, but they just grind you. I hate them.
Well,
I hate that.
And I'm going to give you a 30-second.
The best service. Yeah, yeah,
on the way over here today, I was on the phone for 30 minutes with Comcast, and I had a confirmation number for the last payment we made on time and everything else. Bottom line was the guy kept arguing with me, I said, don't you want the confirmation number? Yeah. Well, you could make one up. I said, I can make one up with your confirmation number? You got to be kidding. I said, here's the number. I said, take it now. I gave him the number, and the guy said, I'm very sorry, sir. I'm very sorry, sir. That was it.
Anyway, I said,
I don't want to waste any more
let's
time.
Go, let's
on
go.
This.
Either.
I'm a Comcast subscriber, too.
Well, y'all
and
are.
Any horror story you got, I can double.
Especially in that city.
I say, you're charging me $200 to send a signal to my house. No work. It's sending a damn signal to my house, and you change the numbers all the time because you try and play games with us. Screw you.
But you got to remember, he also bitches about a salad that doesn't have enough French dressing on it.
Come on now. Anyway, so Steve Yzerman drafts Moritz Seider by Mo Seider, just like
Cedar.
Cedar, okay. Well, you know, Mo's a big name because we had Mo Wagner, so we're big on Germans over here. But Mo Seider, or Cedar, I'm sorry, was surprised because he was expected to go in the 12 to 20 range. Yzerman took him at number 6 because he couldn't make a trade. But he's Steve Yzerman. He did his research, and we have great belief now that he is a very, very smart man and will make this payoff. By the way, here's what Steve had to say about the uncertainty of all of it and how certain he was going in, at least as best he could be, that these were the right picks.
Honestly, the only emphasis was on trying to do our homework, make sure we knew all these kids well and pick the best possible prospects we could. It's a player that we knew well, that we had interest in picking in that spot. So all things considered, it worked out okay, and keep our fingers crossed from here.
Okay, so again, he's saying it's kind of a crapshoot, and we'll see how it goes. But here,
we know that, Eli, but here's my thing about this. Again, we trust Stevie. We trust the scouting staff. Uh-huh. We think that's great, just as we trusted Kenny Holland. If you like Moritz Seider, that's fine. I got no problem with that. Yeah. But you don't draft him there. Now, Yzerman says, well, I couldn't trade down. Really? What did the Flyers do? The Flyers traded out of, 10, dropped down just a few spots, and also got back the number 42 pick overall in the draft. So, again, we all saw the look, if you're watching, and I was, the look of shock and disbelief on the kid's face.
Yeah, he didn't expect
And one of the commentators on NBC, the first thing he said is, I quote, there are a lot better players in the draft available than Seider. But, again, if Yzerman likes him, I like him, too. Trade out and make a deal to trade down.
He tried and he couldn't
don't miss this point. Kenny Holland left and left a sheet of paper with a whole bunch of names on it. I'm not saying one sheet. I'm talking about left a whole bunch of files, got a lot of names, and got a lot of ratings for him. I suspect that more of this has got to do with Kenny Holland than it does Steve Yzerman. You'll see more of Steve Yzerman next year than you do this year.
Well, that's an interesting point. I haven't heard anybody actually make that point. I will say that one of the things I enjoyed about the NBC coverage was that it turned up into to be a stand-up comedy show in part with the noted broadcast journalist Catherine Tappan.
Who?
Called Stevie Catherine Tappan, the woman who works on NBC. You don't watch hockey, guy. You wouldn't know who she is. Anyway, so Catherine Tappan is going to interview Stevie about this, right? Stevie comes over and she says, so Steve, tell us about your choice. It was a no-brainer. Yzerman looked at her like, what planet are you from, girl? A no-brainer. Stevie says, well, not exactly a no-brainer. You know, we had some things. And is both Bob McKenzie and Chauncey Billups on the NBA draft the preceding night? Any kid who's taken, they immediately, well, this guy reminds me a lot of Julius Erving.
That's right.
This is the new Larry Bird. Look at it. Stop it. They're just kids. They're boys.
Yeah, Stevie didn't call the lady a girl, did he?
No. What? No.
Oh, I did.
You did. Okay.
I called Cap.
Okay. That's okay. She can't hear us. It's okay.
The draft, the NBA draft, was a fashion show between Ja Morant's, purple pinstripe. And it's exploiting these kids for the TV show. Well, that's just ESPN. You know, that's not the league necessarily, but they go along with it. Making it what used to be just a boring thing you read about the next day in the paper. So check it out. So you're right. So Zion Williamson says, I'm 18. I've never even played a game. And look at the hoopla and the interviews and the coverage and the hours and hours on talk radio. So RJ Barrett, the other kid from Duke, just a freshman, meets the New York media. Check out this. This is pretty funny, and he handled it quite well.
RJ, do you have big enough shoulders to carry this franchise?
Carry? yeah, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to play. But, you know, I haven't even played a game yet, so how are you going to ask me a question like that?
Welcome to New York, brother.
So you're right. We blow them up. And who knows? I mean, there have been some NBA draft disasters. How about LaRue Martin over Bob McAdoo?
Oh, God, you're going to start this. It's going to take up the rest of the hour. Two teams passed on Michael Jordan. Come on, we can go on with this for days. Listen,
there's nothing more boring than the NFL draft, the NBA draft, the NHL draft. I don't care what draft it is. There's nothing more boring. There's no entertainment value. If you think you can find entertainment value in a guy wearing a polka dot suit, I'll kiss your ass in the middle of Main Street and give you a week to draw a crowd.
hugging.
But I would say that those kids in the polka dot suits at the NBA draft, not the NHL draft, I was really shocked at how much personality they all seemed to have. Yep. They all seemed reasonably intelligent. They all seemed articulate.
Bob, you know what But you know what that's all about? They're already starting to market themselves. They're already jumping out there over the line. Hey, I'm here, Nike.
And a lot of parents that are pushing them that because parents see where the dough is. But also,
Here's another thing. I just want to say this, Eli. Here's another thing. You mentioned a bunch of drafts there. They're not the same, and here's why. The NBA only drafts two rounds.
Right.
And virtually every one of these guys, except for the European kids, is almost a household name here. So it's very interesting to see where these kids go in two rounds, and also the kids who weren't drafted at all. So I do like to watch the NBA draft a lot. But the NFL, once they get to the lower rounds of the NFL and NFL and baseball draft. You don't know these guys.
Think that ESPN promotes the polka dot suits and the purple this and the green this?
No, they tell them to wear that stuff now.
No, but it's the show, and it evolves, and they know they're going to be on camera.
Marketing.
Yeah. Anyway, so I want to come back and do this. Steve Yzerman is kind of where Joe Dumars was many, many years ago. They're the same guy, a local superstar, hero, future Hall of Famer, now put in charge of directing the future of a team. And Joe had a great start with the Pistons that didn't turn out that way, and that's what Steve Fears. I want to talk about more about that. But first, I want to remind you that you're still stuck with your contacts, glasses, and dreaded reading glasses.
But this guy's going to commercial breaks earlier and earlier, Denny. You know that? I think
Bob,
all he cares about is making money. We're having fun on this show.
You know
show.
What it is? It's a sign of our success. We have sponsors, more of them lined up, and don't knock the
please, Bob.
Yeah,
it's okay.
It's a double-edged sword. Anyway,
we got to have some content here, boys.
Dr. Yaldo has set free over 100 listeners of the Red Shovel Network with LASIK, with multifocal lens implants.
Really?
He is the most prolific in all of Michigan. 30,000 LASIK procedures, 20,000 plus multifocal lens implants. A lot of information out there also about the safety and cost of these things. They are both some of the safest of all medical procedures. And Yaldo's custom CATS LASIK is the world's most precise. Amazing results, like better than 20/20 in most cases. His multifocal implants for people 45 plus gets rid of reading glasses for good. And cost, don't believe the $299 hype by the national chains coming into town. It costs more than that, but with Dr. Yaldo, an hour no-filter discount, Yaldo Eye Center financing, it's affordable for almost anybody. So get a free evaluation. Call 1-800-398-EYES. That's 1-800-398-EYES. Tell them Eli, Denny, or Bob sent you, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com.
What can he do with astigmatism? Can he clear that
up, too? No problem at all. And so can David Hall.
You got it. Yeah, David Hall can clear it up, too. And he's another great Red Shovel Network sponsor.
I have to push him towards it. Go ahead.
David Hall and Hall Financial and your astigmatism is on our table today. If you are thinking about refinancing your home, Hall Financial would love to save you lots of money. You can email David at dhall@hallfg.com or call Hall Financial at 248-308-5000. That's 248-308-5000. Maybe it's your first home or your dream home. Maybe you want to take money out of your home. Give David Hall a chance and get lower rates, better options, and more personal attention. The industry average, by the way, for a refi is 44 days, but Hall Financial averages only 19 days or less. Take it from the customers. They now have over 800 5-star reviews. They will even fight for you if you've got a dent or your car crash. They will. Email at dhall@hallfg.com. That's dhall@hallfg.com or call 248-308-5000 and tell them Denny, Eli, and Bob sent you. By the way, you know, I keep throwing in the car crash. I know a guy who had a car crash in his credit, and he got a mortgage.
Okay. Well, David
Hall, they do a good job.
And he's also a great supporter of all of us. And you can deal directly with the guy that owns the company.
Right.
It's the great thing. He will take care of you, and his people will take care of you quickly, efficiently, and at the best prices. So anyway.
And now, back to the sports.
Oh, by the way, you are listening to the No Filter Sports Podcast. Okay.
I got something else I want to say about the NBA draft. Iggy goes 47th overall to the Knicks. Can you say European career? Charles Matthews, injured, screwed up his knee in a workout for the Celtics, not drafted. Jordan Poole, to me, questionable NBA talent. He goes number 28 overall to Golden State and still says, macho man, like, I made the right decision. No, you didn't, son. You're not going to play. You'll be in Europe, too, in just a couple of years. Nick Ward came out early, not drafted.
What? That's the silliest of all.
It's just ridiculous.
Why couldn't he go?
They need another year in school.
Nick Ward may need more than that, but at least take the year and try and develop a skill that'll make you an NBA player.
Yeah.
To be in the major leagues in any sport, you have to have at least one thing you do exceptionally well. You can talk about 5-2 players and all that, but there isn't one thing you can do great. And Ward at 6'8 is an in-betweener. He can't be a big rebounder. He's not Wes Unseld. The game has changed where he can lead the league in rebounding at 6'7. He can't shoot from the outside. So he's limited. He should have gone back to Michigan State.
Should have. Sometimes you don't know, really what's going on. He and Tom have just clashed so much throughout his career. I mean, he's been in Tom's doghouse so much. And maybe the kid's struggling academically at Michigan State. This is the kind of stuff you really don't know sometimes.
And, you know, can you spell the word Williamson? M-O-N-E-Y?
Yeah.
I mean, I just can't believe it's like they're making this kid the NBA at this point in time.
Yeah,
he's 18
right.
years old.
Right. It's ridiculous.
18. It's ridiculous it's how far they've gone with this.
Right.
As I said on the last show, the first absolute surefire, no worries.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Famer since Shaq came out in 91. He's that good.
But now, God forbid, this, and anything can happen, especially in that crazy game, but God forbid he runs into a Grant Hill situation. That would be just awful. Awful for the game, awful for him. I mean, that just...
Senator, knew Grant Hill. This kid is no Grant Hill. He's much better than Grant Hill was.
I'm talking about injury.
I'm going to get to Hill in a second.
And Hill, listen, Hill, you can say whatever you want. He had tremendous character for the game in the NBA.
He was a great guy and a great player. Okay, we haven't mentioned that they did take Sekou Doumbouya. Is that okay? Doumbouya?
You can't pronounce
from Guinea.
Mr.
Youngest player in the draft. This is who the Pistons took. And CBS says it's a steal. He's a project, but he has potential to be great, they say.
Why would you steal? Why would you think you're stealing a guy when you haven't got a team?
That's a good point, because it's a play for 2 or 3 years down the road.
Do they have are they going to wait again to put people in the seats 3 more years? What are they going to do? Let's put a team out there.
I agree with you. They got a Lithuanian, Davidas Sirvaitis, in the second round, and Jordan Bone of Tennessee. And they signed Matt McQuay, the Spartan, Nick Ward's teammate.
The Pistons drafted Isaiah Roby, I believe, didn't they? Didn't I see that? Played at Nebraska. That kid is a hell of a player. Now, in college, did they get Isaiah Roby? I thought they drafted him in the second round.
Maybe they did.
Brandon, you can check him out.
They did. Yeah. They made the trade with the Mavs.
I've seen that kid play a lot in college. He's a real good player. Now, how much is that going to translate to the NBA? I don't know, but he's no slouch.
How many foreigners did we get during the draft this year? Anybody know?
Well, they got the kid from France.
Yeah.
And the kid from Lithuania. That's two. By the way, back to the NHL draft before I forget, as ADD meets senility. Eight of the nine American players were drafted, train at our U.S. training center in Plymouth.
Really?
This is an incredible source of American talent training in Plymouth. I think 8 of the top 9 players drafted.
NHL.
No, first, the 89 American players who were drafted Friday are products of USA Hockey's national team development in Plymouth, Michigan. So more and more
I hated the fact that NBC made such a big deal out of that. He's an American. Oh, he's a, so what? You follow the National Hockey League. There's no difference between Canada and the United States. Who cares who's an American, who's
a
Canadian?
I was thinking from a marketing standpoint, if you get enough foreigners, you could ask the band Foreigner to come in and
A Canadian is not a foreigner to us. I will say this again, to go back to Bob McKenzie. Here's what Bob McKenzie said about Spencer Knight, the 6'4" goaltender for the U.S. National Development Team. Quote, Spencer Knight has a chance to be the best American goaltender ever, end quote. I'm just asking the question, who is the Red Wings goaltender after Jimmy Howard is done, and he's almost done now? I mean, I don't know. Maybe Stevie and the guys didn't like him that much, but I'm thinking, how come the Wings didn't draft him? I don't know.
No,
I don't
know.
So maybe they know more than we do.
You know, now, right now, we have the belief that Steve Yzerman knows what he's doing, and we really hope he does. He had a great run in Tampa and did very, very well. So, you know, there's a theme in sports, and I won an Emmy once for a commentary on Wayne Fonts called Wayne Fonts, Jerk or Genius, because this is what sports does to us. We think a guy is great, then we think he's not, then it can flip-flop.
Let's back have him on the show.
Who, Joe?
Wayne.
Wayne? We can get Wayne on the show. So anyway, so Dumars is a perfect example, and over the weekend, he was hired by Vlade Divac as a special assistant to the general manager in Sacramento. He's an icon. He won a championship here. He went to 6 straight Eastern Conference Finals, Joe did, but he fell from grace in a few short years, and this can happen, and that's what Steve legitimately fears. If this kid, Mo Seider, doesn't work out, a few other things don't work out, he gets a few bad breaks, and he said that at his opening news conference. Please, I'm not a savior. I can do the best I can. I got a nice track record, but you never know about this stuff. And so Joe Dumars had a great opening stroke of luck. He wanted to sign Grand Tilt to then a max contract. It was $125 million. He was coming off an ankle injury. They had to keep him. They wanted to keep him. He was our guy. And he went to Orlando with the big free agent contract to play with Tracy McGrady. It never worked out because he was almost died from a surgery, if one of the surgeries he took regarding the ankle. So Joe's first big break looked like a bad break, turned out to be a good break. And then he did a very good job. He pieced together in the early 2000s with a lot of cut and paste stuff. You know, he got John Barry. He got Zeli Rabracha. He managed to, you know, draft Jerome Williams. So he cut and pasted and made it to the playoffs. Then he made a huge blunder. He signed Darko Milicic, a classic draft mistake, a blunder that's hard to forgive him for. And then this is bad luck. He got Allen Iverson after they made the Eastern Conference Finals 6 straight years, but he said, "You know, we're not going to win another championship because they're getting older. The Chaunceys and the Rips, they're getting to the end of their careers. They're not going to win another championship." So he took this big chance. He trades Billups for Allen Iverson. That turned out
terrible,
awfully terrible.
Well, are you saying that you are personally prejudiced, Eli, against degenerate gamblers and alcoholics playing in the NBA? You don't like Allen Iverson just because he's an alcoholic and degenerate gambler?
It was a tremendous.
You never said
right.
anything about alcoholism. No,
he was. And I said to Joe Dumars later, I said, Joe, you knew he was an alcoholic and a degenerate gambler. Why did you get him? And the reason was simple. He thought he could get through one more year, his last year of his contract, and take that $21.6 million and invest it in free agents. Unfortunately, after that happened, the free agent market was barren, and all he got was Charlie Villanueva, yeah, a dog, and Ben Gordon, who had a great playoff against the Celtics, but was really overrated, a short, and in both deals, with the Iverson thing and the Ben Gordon thing, he angered Rip Hamilton to the point where this great team player and champion went into the tank, hated the organization, and the whole thing just fell apart. So was it Joe's fault? Was he a genius turned into a jerk? Was it bad luck? Did he lose his mojo? Did he get bored? I don't know the answers. But that's what Steve hopes will never happen to him.
Isn't it astounding to you guys that you can take kids with merely a modicum of education. You can give them $10 to $20 million a year just to play a kid's game that they'd play for free anyway, and they find a way to make themselves miserable.
Well, I always thought Joe lost. My impression of it was he lost his direction and he lost his purpose. That's what I really believe. He lost his purpose. He was in such a debacle for the lack of a better term, that he didn't know what to do at that point in time.
He went to, you're right. He went against his, I wrote this book on the Pistons after they won in 04, and he made the point to me that in evaluating talent, the easiest thing is to compare apples to apples. In other words, an NBA player who's been in the league and you trade for him, you know what he is, you can compare apples to apples. Harder in college ball to say, how's this going to translate to the NBA? And even harder sometimes in Europe, especially for a guy named Darko. So he went against his principles and took Darko. And he went against his understanding of team chemistry by bringing Iverson in for the most popular Piston since Isaiah Thomas, Chauncey Billups, that destroyed. I was in Charlotte when that happened. It was November 3rd, 2008. They lost in the Eastern Conference Finals to Boston the year before, and he makes this bold move. And that team just fell apart. They couldn't even come to the arena for the game. Like, they were so shaken. Yeah. So he misjudged that they'd be professionals and make it through the season. And, oh, I could tell you stuff that would just make your hair stand on end.
Well, this is no filter.
Let's.
Okay, and Denny doesn't have too much hair left to stand up, so why don't you tell it anyway?
Denny's got plenty of hair. Come on, stop it.
Anyway.
All right, what do we got?
Well.
Are you going to read a commercial? What the hell are you doing right now?
I'm wondering if I should get to the next level of some of the things that I, some of the atrocities that I saw as that team fell apart. But I'll hold them.
Yeah, was it MacArthur who said, "Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way"?
Well, okay,
so do something, Eli.
So then the next bad break he had, Joe Dumars had, was that the icon died, Bill Davidson, and his wife went to sell the team. Tell me if I've told this story, and I won't tell it again, but this is a great story. So it's the All-Star break, and he promises the players that he will fire John Kuster during the All-Star break, and that when they come back, because they hated Kuster and ripped Kuster in front of the whole team, he said, "You're a fraud, you can't coach, nobody believes in you, you're awful." He could just dress them down in front of the entire team. So the coach had to go, and Joe told the team, "I'll get rid of him over the All-Star break," which would have been the right thing to do.
Sure.
He needed to do that. So Karen Davidson says, "Hold on a second. You mean I got to pay Darryl Walker an extra $400,000 to raise him from an assistant to the? No, I'm not going to do that." And so the players come back, and Kuster is still there. And we fly.
You haven't said this story.
Okay. No. So they come back from the All-Star break. Wallace is injured. He can't play for a day or two. We fly to Indiana. And we get to, and on the flight to Indiana, Ben Wallace takes Kelser into the back and says, "Greg, you need to go on the air and say that this is an abomination. We can't play for this coach. He should have been fired." And Kelser said,
"Why didn't he ask Blaha to say that on the air?"
I know. So of course, Greg says, I can't do that. So then we get to the hotel in Indiana. And Rip, who I really liked, approaches me as we're getting our, you know, our bags are coming in and we're getting ready to go there. He goes, "Man, you got to do this, Eli. You gotta say what happened." I go, "Rip, here's a microphone. You're free to
go ahead and do it.
You're free to say it." Okay. He said. Then he said to me, "How much money do you make?" And I told him how much money I made, as if he was going to pay my salary if I went public with this. This is how awful it got.
Jeez.
And Darryl Walker, who's going to become the coach, said he has never seen this level of disrespect. So here's a team that was in the Eastern Conference Finals and 2 years ago, 2 years later, is destroyed. So Joe presided over that. Some of it was his fault. Some of it maybe not. Circumstances come up. But, you know.
Why do you think Joe didn't make a move or two?
Well, it was the team was for sale.
Right.
He wanted to get rid of the coach and at least bring some camaraderie back on the team. Couldn't do that. And then they were sold. They were sold after the season. And then Gores came in. And what kind of an owner has he turned out to be? They still haven't made the playoffs in the last 11 years. Yeah. And we're saying this now about the Tigers. You know,
same thing.
We have a new owner.
Before the Tigers, the only thing I want to say, I want to reiterate. All right. If these clowns, and that's what they are so miserable and so unhappy making $15 million
yeah,
a year. I think that all those guys, Hamilton, they merely should have gone back to school. Penn would be a good place, majored in quantum mechanics, finished out their undergraduate degree, and then gone on to postgraduate school.
See,
don't you think
you know
so?
What, Bob,
if you're so miserable making $15 million a year?
Bob, you bring up something so good, it's unbelievable. You got to the point I thought we were going with earlier. You know what, guys? I don't care what you say, how you say it, where you go, and where you go to say it. It's all about the money. Everybody wants to win, but you know what? They would rather have the money.
Well, wait a minute, Denny. I think you're. I'm going to tell you why you're. This is what Adam Silver we just saw said.
You're making $15 million a year. You got to play
matter.
As hard. Yes, it does.
No,
you
no,
got to
no,
play.
Oh, yes, you do. Oh, for sure. Sure. But it doesn't
guys
make you happy.
Quit playing.
But it doesn't necessarily make you happy. The money doesn't make
they
you happy.
Quit playing, Eli.
You're right. It's
they
inexcusable.
Stopped. It's totally inexcusable.
Totally inexcusable.
What Davidson's daughter should have done is fire the whole damn crew.
Well, you can't because of the company.
I
you,
understand
no, you're
that,
right.
too.
There's no league where
why
the
why doesn't she come out public and give him hell?
She didn't give. She just wanted her money and get the hell out of town. As it is, she undersold the team
ridiculous.
And destroyed it.
$15 million, $10 million,
but this is happening
million.
Today. The Kyrie Irvings, these people are miserable. Durant, these people are miserable, and that's what Adam Silver is trying
See,
to say.
Let me tell you what they think. They think because they are so good, and somebody told them from the age of seven that they're so good, they're the star of the team, they're going to make so much money. The bottom line is they believe it.
But they make the money, but the money doesn't make them happy. And here's the other thing. The
oh,
money is
should.
Limited.
Oh, it makes
should.
Them happy.
I could put up with a lot of crap yeah. in my life for $15 million yeah. a year. A lot of crap.
I think you'd be miserable no matter how much you made.
Listen, I got to tell you something. As miserable as I was.
My name is not Keith Olbermann. My name is Bob Page.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to be miserable wherever I am.
As miserable an SOB as I was when I went to Washington, D.C., you couldn't have been more miserable than I was.
You played your ass off.
I had a team that couldn't catch it, couldn't throw it, couldn't bunt it, couldn't run and hit, couldn't hit and run. They couldn't do anything. In spring training, they wouldn't take sliding practices. They didn't know how. So as miserable as I was, they were paying me $100,000 a year to be there. You know what? I took that check in the first and 15th and gave them 110% every time I went out there. It made no difference. The money has a lot to do. You got a family. And these guys had money. I didn't have $100,000 a year. What's that? Today they got $15 million to play with. That's money.
Well, it's also
Dick Vitale resigns as head basketball coach at the University of Detroit. We all know that. And then he couldn't go on. Health reasons. Then a year later, he surfaces as head coach of the Detroit Pistons for how much money?
$100,000.
Yeah. And Al Ackerman goes on Channel 7 in Detroit and wouldn't let it go. And every show said, pop, pop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief $100,000 a year is. He just ripped Vitale a new one constantly.
Yeah, Al Ackerman ripping anybody is a disgrace.
Oh, God, there you go with
your
Ackerman
get,
thing
you know,
again.
One day we're going to do Al Ackerman. You know that, right?
Right. Now, anyway, to finish this up, as Adam Silver said in the beginning of the year, and they did two PSAs with DeMar DeRozan and also with Kevin Love talking about depression. And the fact is, this generation isn't happy. They find misery everywhere.
You really think they're not happy?
And they're not happy. Look at Kyrie Irving. These guys are unhappy.
I think it's a dog and pony show.
Silver addressed all of it, the unhappiness, whether it's mental illness, whether it's depression. They're not happy. And the irony is they have more control than they ever had before.
Absolutely.
These guys run the league.
I really believe it's a dog and pony show, and they're doing certain things. Somebody told them, listen, you want to get more endorsements? You want to do this? You want to do this? You want to endorse Excedrin? Whatever the hell drug you want to do out there? Hey, they're going to come. They're going to ask you to do this and do this.
Especially, Danny, after John Lennon solved this problem so many, many years ago. Because we all know happiness is a
warm gun. Okay.
Bang, right. Shoo.
The free agent market is underway, and the Kyrie Irving was miserable. Kawhi Leonard, hilarious situation in Toronto with Kawhi Leonard. Let me get into that to a minute. But first of all, I want to say how much I love my new Lincoln Nautilus.
And I love you in your new Lincoln.
Do I look good in that car?
You do, boy.
My first SUV, man. I got it at Hoot McInerney Star Lincoln. And, oh, boy, the groundbreaking comfort and safety features are amazing. It shows me if I'm in the middle of my lane. It shows me when somebody's coming to the left or right. It's a fabulous car.
You need that technical equipment.
I do, because I'm a very distracted driver.
Horrible.
Anyway, Hoot had flair. He rubbed shoulders with CEOs, Detroit sports legend. Great guy, and his family carries on his image with the jewel of the McInerney family's holdings, which is the Star Lincoln dealership. The immaculate service area, the gorgeous showroom, and the best lease prices in the market. It is a luxury brand, and you can get it at affordable prices. Also, the effortless ownership experience. You can order Nautilus or any Lincoln online at starlincoln.com. They just roll into the dealership and pick it up. Or visit them in person. Hoot's son Jim, grandson Ryan, manager Tim will take care of you, because the star treatment has never been better than at Hoot McInerney Star Lincoln at 12 and Telegraph in Southfield. And speaking of Denny McClain, after 661 innings and 55 wins and back-to-back years, he thought he'd be pitching forever. Didn't happen, though. Had arm problems and really wasn't that prepared for the rest of his life. Maybe if you'd known Luke Nowacki back then.
Are you going to take this crap, Denny?
You would have taken some of that money and invested it wisely. Instead, you gambled it away, and you drank Pepsi all day long, and who knows what else you did. Anyway, if you're confronted with a sudden life change, call Luke Nowacki. He's a great wealth manager at 248-663.
Tell Luke to call me.
Well, you should call Luke. I gave you the number. You called him today. Tell him you need some help, okay? You should have called him 30 years ago, but I don't know if he was in business back then. He'll show you how to protect your family when life happens, or talk to you about your retirement path and whether you're on the right one. He supports all the shows here at the Red Shovel Network, so please, we want you to support Luke Nowacki. Get to meet him. See if he can help you. And this disclaimer, I'm going to read it as fast as I can. Securities Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, member FINRA/SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, and services referenced here independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. All right. So
it's time for me to remind everybody out there that they can join. Yeah, so Eli's just going a mile a minute. I can't get a word in edgewise.
By the way, please, I must say, you are listening to the No Filter Sports Podcast. Go ahead. That's for our radio listeners. Go ahead, Bob.
It is, yes, we are on iHeartRadio, as a matter of fact, 11:30 a.m. in Detroit and in Toledo, Ohio as well, and we're happy about that anyway. If you want to join the show, we always value your opinions, even though many of you are full of it completely. You can call and leave a message on our hotline, 760-89-BALLS. You can email the show at asknofilter@gmail.com, and of course, you can tweet us, and that would be at Eli Zarrett, at MU2Denny, and at Bob Page Sports. To the mailbag, boys, we go. And we first have Bobby Olson here today, who tweets me.
Sounds like a hockey player.
Here's Bobby Olson. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, I have to say, between you guys at No Filter Sports and the Drew and Mike show, I almost never listen to the radio anymore.
God,
I start out every morning with Drew and the gang, and as soon as that's over, I find the next Red Shovel Network show to begin. Thank you very much. Dan Perrine of DND Racing says, Bob, I feel like you tweet type like you talk, which is awesome. I read your tweets like you talk on the podcast. The podcast has become a must listen for me now. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Dan. Your boy Tom Pirelli from last week is back. Remember, Tom wanted to know what kind of ball you used? So he went out and he bought the ball that you used to use. He sends me a tweet and says, you just bought that bowling ball you recommended from Brunswick. You should be getting a cut of that action from Brunswick.
Well, you know what? We should. Bob, why don't you represent me and call Brunswick?
All right, I'll do that. Now, we have another gentleman who writes, Eli, you laughing during the bowling discussion on Thursday's podcast was classic. Instead of trying to stop this discussion, you let the Denny and Bob freak show roll on. The stress you go through to endure 60 minutes with these two is amazing, especially dealing with the neurotic and goofy Bob. His sidebars and transitions to other topics are maddening, but entertaining, he writes. And I guess that's what it's all about. That's from Will Campbell. Now,
thanks, Will.
Here's a dumb question in one sense, but I got a good answer for it. We got an unnamed texter who says, why does Bob always refer to Brandon as Brandon McAfee?
No, you're wrong. It's Brandon. Brandon is the nickname. Brandon, would you please explain? Because Bob doesn't know this part of the story, which is understandable. Go ahead.
Over on the Drew and Mike show, yeah, they refer to me as Brandon.
Because why?
Because of a silly commercial years.
Gordon
years ago.
Was that with Gordon or something?
I think it was a Sprint My Family plan where the gothic kid said, "My name is pronounced Gordon." So it just stuck with me.
Be that as it may, whatever. Be that as it may. Those of us who are on the air, like the three of us here, up front, well-known people, and so on and so forth, would be nothing without our support people. They're no different than we are. We're on the air. They just happen to be off the air supporting us. So I want people to know that Brandon McAfee is our producer.
Brandon.
That's what I said, right.
Or Brandon, whatever it is from now on.
That's what I said to Brandon.
Why shouldn't he get credit?
No, you're giving him.
My mother used to say, Dennis.
That's what you're trying. No, Rick from Harrison Township. Denny, do you still talk with the 68 Tigers regularly? Now, this is a weird thing. I thought about this. Ain't too many of you guys left no more.
Well, that's exactly right. I was at a show this weekend in, where the hell was I? Three Oaks,
that's right.
On the west side of the state. And the one question was asked a dozen, 100 times, it seemed. Do we see the other 68 guys? Most of them are dead.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not time to see them, I don't think.
Al's still around, although I think Al is still around.
He's
ailing a little bit.
Mickey Stanley is still around.
Saw Mickey last week.
He's put some weight on, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. Shocked me.
I could not believe it that Mickey's put that much weight on. Donnie Word has always put weight on. Looks like a little farmer from Pennsylvania.
Mickey's always been a bit
right?
portly.
Willie Horton is...
he's a bit thick also.
He's a bit thick, but he's got that bad back. Al looks great. I mean, Al, I love you. I love you very much, but from the neck down, you look great.
Denny, I think you're among those who have passed, one of my all-time favorites. Did you know, Denny, what happened 51 years ago today? Freddie the Pizza Man writes in and says, 51 years ago today, Jim Northrup hit two Grand Slams home runs in one game.
Were you pitching?
For me, against Cleveland, I think.
No kidding.
Well, he remember, I think it was against Cleveland.
The question is, how much does Denny remember? He remembers against Cleveland, which may or may not be the answer.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think it was Cleveland.
Two grand
I think we beat them like 16-1 or 16-2.
The Silver
something
Fox.
Something like that. Oh, man. Let me tell you, if it wasn't for Al Kaline, Jimmy Northrup may have been recognized as a superstar.
He didn't hit like a superstar.
Oh,
come
man,
on,
let me
Denny.
Tell you something against right-handed. What the hell do you know about baseball?
But come on, man.
What do you know about
Look
baseball?
Look at the numbers. He was a fine
what
player.
What do you know about baseball?
I know statistics.
You don't know Jimmy Northrup. If Northrup could only play against right-handed hitters, he'd have been a career 300 hitter.
I'm not going to argue with that.
He averaged 18 home runs, 71 RBI, and a .267 average. That was
average statistics, but average is
great
tough.
Statistics for that era.
Okay.
I was at the ballpark in the mid-60s with one of my kid brothers, and for whatever reason, he had the chutzpah. We were sitting in the right field seats to go down to the fence in batting practice. Northrup was right there, and he was talking to Jim Northrup. I couldn't believe it. I said, you're talking to Jim Northrup? You know, oh, my God. Let me tell you something. Jim Northrup is one of the nicest guys that I knew. It's just a terrific guy. And what a tragedy. We lost him way too soon.
Yeah. You just wanted to be on the same team as him because he wasn't a very nice person. And that was okay with me if he was
nice
on the other team.
You're saying he wasn't a nice person?
He wasn't a very nice person if you were playing against him.
He was very volatile.
Very volatile. I mean, he was dynamite walking around.
I don't want to do too much more of the mailbag because it takes up a lot of screen so much. Just a couple more things. Mike Wizzo writes, I love the show, by far the best sports show in Detroit, so on and so forth. But I want to end on a down note because these people are kissing our asses all the time. John Witzke rips me a new one here, rants about golf and so on and so forth, and how, you know, I always just want to talk about Tiger Woods. And then he informs us that Australian Hannah Green ranked 107th in the world. Won a major Sunday on the LPGA Tour. John, my brother, if you like to watch the LPGA, go for it.
Yeah,
the Rocket Mortgage Tournament starts this week, and I think more interesting than the tournament is what's up with Dan Gilbert. I know he's going through some rehab now, but Dan Gilbert's a very important citizen here, and
he certainly is. Some
of the rumors are that he's not doing that well. And by the way, Gary Woodland will be here this week along with Ricky Fowler.
Well, he will be, huh?
But only 11.
DJ's playing this week.
Yeah, only 11 of the world's top 50 are here, though.
Yeah, not many.
But still.
And Tiger didn't come, right?
They're all great players, and they're all worth watching, and it's just fractional differences between them. In fact, first year I got the PGA guidebook, it was in the early 80s, I was covering the Buick Open, and I looked and Craig Stadler was the leading money winner, won like $102,000 in the early 80s. And I looked down, and the 100th best money winner was only like one and a half strokes worse per round. So they're all capable of shooting 60s. It's who can do it under the pressure. I want to get into this because the free agent market is open now.
Before you continue, I wonder if the game ever thought that we would see so many 60s every week.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's incredible, the number of 60s.
And the courses get longer and longer. Anyway, this guy, his name is Nav Bhatia. I told you, he's in the shot of every Raptors game. He sits on the floor right there under the basket. He's got a big turban on. He's a Hyundai dealer. He's been, for the last 34 years, he's been Canada's biggest Hyundai dealer. And he's Indian. He's a huge fan. He wants Kawhi Leonard to stay. And he's very determined to get the people into Toronto and Canada to treat him that way and nurture him to stay. Here's what he had to say in a news conference that was played throughout Canada yesterday.
I want to put a request in the media right now because our superstar, Kawhi Leonard, he's being harassed, he's being followed. We are not giving him the space which he deserves to have the space. We have won the championship. Let him enjoy the city right now. Let him enjoy his privacy right now with his family. Just leave him alone. Let him enjoy the city.
So basically he's saying, please, leave him alone. Let him enjoy the city. You know, don't run up to him and take pictures. It's very, very funny.
Did you see that they have at least two huge billboards now up in L.A.?
I know.
Begging him to come
home. I know. And here's the response to his Twitter feed. One guy says, he already bought a condo in L.A. I know the realtor he used. Then he said that some official came on, a government guy, and said, let's treat him the Toronto way. And so a guy tweets, waving goodbye to him, is that the Toronto way? And then the third guy writes, indubitably, inevitably, unavoidably gone. So Nav wants Kawhi to stay, and we'll see what happens.
Well, let's talk about the St. Louis way, what they did for Albert Pujols yesterday.
Sure.
Albert Pujols, who has one of the great iconic figures of Major League Baseball for a long time.
And of chemistry, and of modern chemistry, too.
Okay, well,
That's only rumor.
Yeah, what do you think, looking at what that guy's body used to look like?
You know, Tim, it's interesting. Denny, I'm going to let you talk more about it, but I just want to say it's so interesting to see the hero worship for Pujols.
Unbelievable.
And you think, around here, who cares? This is what's so interesting about hero worship. In a particular town, in a particular place, even if you take a particular sport, go watch Gaelic football. You'll see guys that are treated like gods, and we don't even know who they are. So Albert Pujols, who, yes. You know, Jack Clark, I think, did him a – Jack Clark was a guy about 15 years ago said, hey, look, you know, he's a steroid freak without any evidence of it at
all. Got fired, by the way.
Yeah, because of that. So, you know, that's how I look at it. Great player. The numbers are – but I mean, go ahead about how they treat him.
Let me say this. You know, he set records. He did things on the field that nobody ever did, especially with the bat.
Let me explain. 11 years in St. Louis, 445 homers, 1,329 RBIs, 328 average, two World Series, three MVPs, Rookie of the Year. That could be one of the greatest 11-year runs anybody ever had anywhere. So he comes back. He signed with the Angels in 12 after 11 years in St. Louis because they didn't match the contract. So he's still a hero in St. Louis because he didn't dump them for another city.
And let me tell you why he's such a monster hero. A couple of things. Number one, there wasn't a person probably in that ballpark that wasn't pulling for him to not hit a grand slam homer. He'd come up with the bases loaded late in the ballgame. Everybody wanted him to hit a grand slam. That was the way he should have gone out. But he's always been a guy, no mess, no fuss, no controversy except for what Jack Clark popped off with.
Except steroids.
Easy.
I'm still guessing.
Yeah, everybody's guessing about that. He's had one drug test after another and swore to them. He said, you can test me every day if you wanted to. Let me tell you.
I'm sure he stopped, Denny. I'm just saying, when we first saw this kid hitting all those home runs, you looked at his body. What did you think?
Okay.
I did put him in that category.
You're going to have both sides. Anyway, let me say why he's such a monster hero there. He's done two things with his foundation, and I mean, his foundation is a big one. He does a lot of things. First of all, he's got a program for challenged folks. Mentally challenged folks. He's been unbelievable with the program across the country, not only St. Louis, but everywhere. And then the other program they just announced within the last month or so, sex trafficking. They are very, him and his wife, she's gone all over the United States and most of the world going around and talking to police agencies and institutions about sex trafficking.
And you know what? Michigan's the number two state in the union for sex trafficking because they come in through
Canada. Yeah. So that's the that's one of the other reasons why he is such a monster hero. He's got involved in their communities in more ways than one, and he is a great, great asset to the game. I'm not sure what he's going to do after the game, but, you know.
I did not know that, and when he came on – This is how it sounded in St. Louis when he arrived for the first game on Friday.
Batting fifth, number five, first baseman, Albert Pujols.
And so the cheering just continued and continued.
Yep.
And when he finished last night, I happened to be watching that, the standing ovation, he popped out as the standing ovation. Oh, my God.
Went on forever.
They love this, just to see the kind of like
meanwhile,
Kawhi Leonard in Toronto. Go ahead.
Meanwhile, onward and downward at Wrigley Field. On Sunday, Mets pitcher Jason Vargas had to be restrained from going after a Newsday reporter. Mets lost again, this time to the Cubs 5-3. The incident actually started, you probably read about this, Mickey Callaway, the Mets manager, told one of his PR guys with the team to, quote, get this mother bleeper out of the clubhouse. After calling the reporter a smart ass earlier, Vargas then engaged in a stare down with the reporter and threatened, quote, to knock you the bleep out. Healy still didn't leave. Vargas took steps toward the reporter and two teammates. I mean, it sounds to me
like this
reporter provoked a lot of this.
But what
stuff.
Created this?
Well, what happened was the Mets are a bad ball club. Callaway's not doing a good job. He was just asking questions about the use of the bullpen. Why'd you use this guy here?
Right.
Why didn't you bring that guy in there? And, you know, with bad ball clubs, like you haven't played on any.
There are no answers.
Guys are frustrated. Yep. Tensions are high. And I wonder why the same kind of thing hasn't happened at Guardy yet with a horrendous way.
Managerial decisions can turn out two ways. They can be brilliant, the same decision, or they can turn out awfully. That's the nature of the game. So what happened was he stuck with reliever Seth Lugo during the eighth inning instead of going to his closer, Edwin Diaz. So, of course, Lugo gives up the go-ahead three-run homer to Javier Baez. And so this is why when things pile up, like when Hal McRae tore the phone out of his desk, one of his famous raves, or the Earl Weaver famous raves that were recorded. So, but I don't know whether this Heath has written a lot of...
The Mets have apologized, by the way, for what happened.
They have?
They must have apologized.
That's a good thing.
And speaking of the New York Mets, it was just 6 weeks, 2 months ago when the Tigers were going to play here in New York that I told you two about Pete Alonso. You'd never even heard of him.
Right, that's right.
You know, yesterday, Sunday, he hit his 27th home run of the year.
Unbelievable.
That already breaks Daryl Strawberry's all-time Mets rookie record in a season of 26.
How many years was he in the minor leagues?
None.
Alonso?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many years was he in the minor leagues?
Oh, how many years? I don't know.
Okay.
Not very long.
We have to say goodbye to our radio audience
now.
Yes, we
do.
Oh, yeah. This is a podcast, so if you guys tuned in late, you can hear the entire thing on our website, No Filter Sports Podcast.
And our podcast listeners will stay with us. You are listening to the No Filter Sports Podcast. What else going on in baseball?
All right.
I'll tell you what's going on in baseball. I know some of you guys hate it when I bring up New York, but here in New York on Sunday afternoon, JV beat the Yankees. So JV beat the Yankees. He didn't pitch great. He made big mistake. He gave up a three-run homer. So Justin Verlander, with this victory, is now 10-4. His ERA is 2.67. His WHIP is an almost astounding 0.075.
Wow, you're kidding.
Opponent hitters against JV are hitting 157. Now, here's something. Some of those guys, Ian Kinsler's at San Diego last year of his career. He's down. J-Up's been hurt. And you'd never get a straight answer out of Apollo or Chris Illich. But had those guys known what this guy was going to still be like, and maybe for years to come, had they known what J.D. Martinez was going to do, and he's having a very solid season for the Red Sox, do you think they really would have ripped up this Detroit Tigers franchise?
You know what? I still think it's about selling a ball club. I don't care what kind of excuse they put out there. You could not get rid of your entire team if you didn't have something below the surface someplace about to happen. That's what I think. And I think it may have exploded because I don't believe anybody would have thought that everybody was going to go and we were going to have 100 new guys that none of us had heard of this year.
Well, see, the other thing, you know, I spoke last week to a bunch of, I don't want to call them senior citizens because they're older than that. They're in their mid-80s, 90s, whatever, but they watch the Tigers every night.
Yep.
And I said to them, I speak to them once a year, doing it as a charity thing.
Is that
this is at Fox Run where Ernie used to live. Yep. Ernie and Lulu just died this year. But I go, so which Tiger do you look at? and say, he's our guy, and I'm looking forward to cheering him for years. And they look at me blankly. There is nobody. So they've broken the bond with their fans, and so many things are turning out poorly, like Frankie Perez, who was the key guy in the Verlander trade. But to answer your question about Verlander, though, because the Astros showed him a flaw in his delivery that changed everything. So he wouldn't have been pitching this well had he stayed here. He doesn't belong here because he would have been playing with a last-place ball club instead of a first-place ball club. And he wouldn't have these numbers.
Yeah, he wouldn't have these numbers, that's for sure. But this ball club is not going to give you numbers. And then even Ron went on the defense yesterday.
Gardy
said, this is our problem. We have repeat offenses, but that's who the hell we are. That's who the hell we are.
Repeat offenses.
You're relying on guys who aren't playing their best positions. We're playing guys all over the field because we have to. It's not a perfect scenario. And they had so many bad misplays yesterday. I could sit here for the next 15
Sunday,
minutes.
You mean,
and,
Nico Goodrum throwing that ball into the dugout. My God.
I mean, the things that they did are inconceivable. These are major leaguers. Well,
there was a guy on second, sharp single to left, a Cleveland guy, sharp. And Kristen Stewart, I think he has that bad an arm. Yeah. When he got that ball maybe 75 feet behind the infield, the guy was just at third base. And he scored. Yep. And I go, whoa, he should have been out by 30 feet. And I think Lugo, tipped it, but I don't think, kind of cut it off, but didn't cut it off. It's just that the defense is so bad.
Did I read correctly on Twitter somewhere? Somebody said that after Daniel Norris went seven innings, gave up eight hits and six earned runs, Gibby said he pitched great.
Yes,
on the air.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I almost fell out of the chair. He didn't say that exactly, but yes, he implied
he said that about Zimmerman too. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, since when is giving up 4, 5, 6 runs a good outing?
Well, I don't know. Were all the runs after the Goodrum threw it in the dugout, were those earned? There had to be some earned runs, but maybe not.
Well, there's always a mistake in the inning, but that doesn't necessarily give up six. Listen, by the way, when Norris gave up the runs yesterday, yeah, there was a mistake in there. But you know what? They had six other hits in the inning. Listen, do you hear what I said?
Yes.
They had six other hits in the same inning.
I agree with you. And I guess when you're going to talk about Gibby and Jack and Matt – you know, when you're paid by the devil, I don't want to say that, but whoever pays you, you have to fall in line. You have to be an employee.
Yeah.
And they are constantly, I think they sell more than they need. They're constantly selling the ball club. It's a tough role. I've been in that role. I did it with the Pistons the last few years. Now I'm telling you what I really think. I couldn't tell you back then what I really think. And we know that these announcers don't think what they're saying because they see how awful it is. And they got to pretend that it isn't that bad.
But how about
the kid on Saturday?
But let me say this.
His debut,
to you.
Six innings pitch, two hits, no runs. Aaron Seville.
I just want to say one more thing about what I was going with Gardenhire. He now says the reason he's taken so many ejections is to protect his players. How the hell does an ejection protect the players?
I don't know. What does he mean?
I have no idea.
All right, now here's a news item from Saturday. Just a couple of days after embarrassingly stealing home easily against the Tigers.
Martin.
The Cleveland Indians, yes, exactly. What they did was they waived Leonis Martin. All right, here's why, because he wasn't doing the job. You want some numbers? He had only hit 9 home runs this year with the Indians.
Had he
been playing for the Detroit Tigers,
he'd be leading the
that
team.
Would have put him tied for the team lead with Brandon Dixon at 9. He was only hitting 199 this year. Look at the Detroit Tigers at the time. John Hicks hitting 196. Your starting catcher, Griner, hitting 162. The late unlamented Candy down at Toledo now hitting 179. It's beyond belief. Now, on the positive side, boys. Jacoby now hitting 252.
He's moving up.
And he hit his 9th home run of the season on Sunday. Again, my target for him is just hit 270 and 20 home runs. That's all.
So, well, he'd be a star if he could do that.
So they're selling everybody off, and now Matt Boyd, Milwaukee's interested in Boyd, supposedly. He's under control.
Well, a lot of teams would be interested in him.
But what Avila wants is the one guy they won't give him. The best prospect is a guy named Keston Hiura, and he's the only guy that's untradeable on their team, they say. So it's just...
And, we got Castellanos, and I still think he's gone. If I was Castellanos, I would want to be here.
Absolutely.
Would you? Sure. If you were Castellanos, would you want to be here the way they've treated him this year?
If you're going to pay me $9 million a year, which is what he's making at age 27, I'd want to be anywhere.
Wait a minute, Bob, here's a guy that's going to offer him at least $9 million out there. There's at least one other team.
So here's what they have. So they want to get rid of that contract. They still owe Zimmerman $22 million a year for the next 3 years. They owe Cabrera, they're paying him forever, like another $125 million.
Vicky's hit .296.
Yeah, with the .750 OPS.
And all those home runs, too. Yeah. And he's got all those home runs.
Yeah, four of them, right. they're still paying Verlander. They're still paying Prince. And so even though they're getting rid of everybody, they're still...
Don't you love that, by the way? They're still paying JV.
They're still paying JV $8 million a year. In fact, when he came back and beat us, they paid him $8 million to come back and beat him.
But $8 million is better than $35 million.
That's true. So it's a very unique situation.
Now, can we almost leave on a great note? The Yankees have hit 26 home runs in 26 straight games.
Yeah.
One more home run is a major league record.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Danny, I got a question for you. I was tweeting the other day.
Sounds like I'm pitching again, that many home runs.
It was amazing for me to see one of my all-time boyhood heroes in the news the other day.
Who?
Michigan's own former Detroit Tigers pitcher Phil Regan.
Oh, yes.
Became the pitching coach of the New York Mets.
82.
At age 82.
Isn't that amazing?
Danny, you guys played together for 3 years. What was
I got enough time to tell one story with Phil Regan. I was a young man. One time I was. And I was 19 or 20 when I got to the big leagues. And Phil Regan took me under his wing and says,
years older than you. I can see that.
He said, you really got a good fastball. He said, but I want to give you a pitch that you'll have forever. And I said, what's that, Phil? He says, a spitter. He says, with your velocity and the way you spin the ball, you're going to throw the greatest spitter of all time. I said, spitter, isn't that illegal? And he says, I'm going to show you how to cover it up. He says, you're either going to use Preparation H or you're going to use Vaseline. Yeah. I said, well, what about good old spit?
Were you talking about sex or are you talking about spitballs?
Talking about spitballs. And I said, well, can't I just use spit, saliva? Wouldn't that be easier to do than put stuff all over me? He says, yeah, but the other stuff really works well. So
what makes a spitter? Does it spin?
It's like an airplane wing. The heavier the wing is, more.
So the spit changes the weight of the ball and changes the velocity, and
nobody knows what it's going to do. By the way, if you can really throw one.
I see.
So anyway, I got myself into a ball game and went in 3-1 in California. No, 4-1 in California. Two outs in the ninth. Two guys are on. And Jim Pergosi steps up to the plate. No, I'm actually winning by 2 runs. And the bottom line is I got him 0-2. And at that moment, I said, Denny, this is it, boy. This is time for the spitter, right?
Where'd you get the stuff from to put on the ball?
I was going to spit in my hand.
Oh, I see. You're going to use the actual spitter.
Back in those days, as you may recall the rule, once you stepped on the rubber, you could not come off without it being a balk. So once I turned around and I went, and we could go to our mouth at that time, and then you made it look like you touched your shirt, right?
But you didn't, yeah.
Then they outlawed that. They called it an automatic ball after that.
Eventually they did. So anyway, I've got enough spit running down my hand to put out a fire. Okay. That's how wet my hand is. And I've got this ball soaking damn wet. You can't believe how wet the ball is. Fergosi's standing up there waiting. Are you going to throw the ball or not? I said, yeah, it's coming. It's coming. I finally throw him a fastball. He hit it 19 miles. I mean, he hit this spitter 19 miles. The next day in the papers, he said, I don't know what the hell he threw, but for God's sakes, it looked like it come out of a thunderstorm.
One other thing. I remember Phil was just being a pretty much average pitcher with the Tigers. And I don't remember that we or anybody ever else called him the Vulture because he kind of looked like the Vulture.
Yeah, they did that here.
So he goes to the Dodgers. He's this huge star relief pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers. I couldn't believe it.
Because of the spitter. He had the best spitter you've ever seen in your life. The thing did this. I know you can't see it on our radio listeners, but bottom line is the ball would get near home plate and disappear. It would go dive. And I mean really dive.
We should talk about the spitball more some other time because Perry was...
You know what? Some other time will be the next show, and I'll briefly tell you why. I was on baseballreference.com this morning. They had a picture of a guy I'd never heard of in my life, one of the early and great spitball players, pitchers you've never heard of him either, and we'll do that next show.
Okay. A couple things. Not talking about it extensively today. This is Monday, as you know, that we're recording. The women are playing the World Cup against...
And U of M.
Is it France? No, they're going to play in Spain, who they should beat.
Right.
Also, U of M play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for the College World Series. They haven't won the World Series since 1962. They're playing Vanderbilt, so that's going to be exciting.
They look so good.
They look really good. And the last note I want to make was, Le'Veon Bell, had the $500,000 of jewelry stolen by the two women, and the police asked him to fill out a report. He said, what were the women wearing? He said, well, when I left the house, I don't know what they were wearing. They weren't wearing anything. They were both naked in bed. So that was part of his police report.
By the way, By the way,
I've got the ultimate challenge, okay, for everybody listening to this show today.
What is
the ultimate challenge. I want you to spread this all over town. After U of M gets through with the World Series, okay, I want them to play on a Monday night or a Thursday night a baseball game against the Detroit Tigers.
Oh, please. They would lose 30-0 to the Detroit Tigers.
No. You're wrong. Listen, we got a double-A baseball. I'm not giving them triple-A anymore. We got a double-A baseball team out there. We don't even have a hitter protecting
this
another hitter.
Ladies and gentlemen, come back and see us in a year or two. We'll still be here. He's going to be eating crow when all these kids come up. And if you got four Cy Young winners in back-to-back 4 years. Since you brought up Le'Veon, I wasn't going to have time for this, but it's a quick one-liner. Bleacher Report now starting to preview the college football season. And the latest story, they rank the top defensive lines in America this season. Bama number 4, Clemson number 3, and the number 1 defensive line in all of America, sure, Michigan State University.
All right.
Go green, go white.
And that's for them, guy.
See you all on Thursday. So long.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good week.